Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, so I've got to ask about this, too. Did you saw, Tyler, I'm assuming that you saw this. This plan for, I mean, there's no other way to say this. Like, an NBA 2K20 tournament played by NBA players. It is the top story on ESPN. Kevin Durant leads a field of 16 in an NBA 2K20 tournament on ESPN.
So he's the one seed.
He's the top seed. Yes.
Did they do this by NBA talent, or do they actually know these guys are good at 2K?
Very relevant question. Players were seeded based on their player rating in NBA 2K20. With Durant, a 96 overall in the game, as the one seed. Players who were tied in overall rating were seeded based on tenure in the league. So that's how that goes. I'm assuming that most of these guys have played this game before, if not all of them, right? But here's
a lot of professional athletes are gamers now.
Well, that's definitely true. But here's why I won't watch this at all. It is hit or miss for me when it comes to watching professionals, literally the best gamers on the planet play a video game. There are some where I'm like, wow, that's super cool. And there are some where I'm like, yeah, I don't care that this game has a competitive scene or that they're, you know, professionals at it. Like, kudos, by the way. Like, any time you get to the top of any kind of field, I think is difficult and noteworthy and deserves some kind of praise. But just in terms of my interest, I'm okay. Here's my question. I'm not a pro gamer. I did not go to, like, school with any pro gamers. However, I played video games, and my friends played video games in college, and we had, like, little tournaments and stuff like that just in the room or whatever. My view is that being put on ESPN. Like, my view is, like, these guys being okay at this game and putting it on ESPN. Now, I get that part of the appeal is, are you going to get that 5-12 matchup where Michael Porter Jr. gives Devin Booker a run for his money or whatever? But I don't know. Like, it's a tough enough sell for me to watch video games on, like, a stream or on TV or something if I know that the people are absolutely the best of the best. Like, that's already kind of a tough sell for me to begin with. And now, where I can almost guarantee that none of these guys are the best of the best. I get why they're doing it, but I won't be tuning in.
Well, and the thing is, too, I'll take yours a step further, because I can watch if it is the best of the best, or I can watch if someone is good at making commentary.
Sure. Entertaining,
you know,
funny.
I've gotten to the point, you know, without self-promoting, I've gotten to the point where, like, when I make videos, if I'm playing really poorly, I go, oh man, I realize I have to be funny or say something clever or do good commentary, because nobody's going to watch me, just some guy, play a video game if I'm playing horribly at it.
Right.
So you've got to have one of the two. I don't know how many of these players are going to be locked in to be able to make commentary and crack jokes at each other, talk smack. I don't know what it's going to be like. You might just get a game in silence with, you know, oh, let's go down to the David Aldridge on the sideline.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, that's really what it could be.
It could be. Now, I realize that to some people, it doesn't matter at all. The thought that jumped into my mind was, like, literally the only time that I can remember the internet being broken for a massive section of the country came kind of at the start of the Fortnite craze a couple of years ago. When there's this guy whose gamer tag's Ninja, who at the time was the best Fortnite player on the planet, was in a four-person group. It was him, Drake, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Travis Scott. Like, that was the foursome. And it didn't matter the quality of play for these other people, because that is literally like a who's who of like celebrity people that you know. Like, it's worthwhile to check out for a lot of people. Some people watch reality TV not because anything interesting is happening, but because there are interesting people doing it, to your point, Tyler, right? I don't know. I don't know enough. I know some of these guys are fun and interesting. I know that some of these guys have played the game before. Like, and if you want to watch it, go crazy. But we are really reaching the depths of it, my friends, if this is the case. This is what we're getting to.
And it's funny that you bring up the college roommate, you know, Madden tournament or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you felt about it, but as soon as my game was over and I knew I had, you know, three or four games until I was playing again.
Right.
I quite honestly probably went and did something else. Hey, shoot me a text when it's my game.
When it's wrapped up.
Yeah, shoot me a text when there's like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
You're not locked
of
in.
Of the game before me.
And
because I'm not a professional to the point where I have to, you know, me and you are in a tournament and we're both professionals. I have to scout your Madden style.
Right. You're
we're
not
just,
going
to go,
that.
You're playing with your buddies.
Right.
You know, so to watch someone that you don't know, even if it is an NBA player, for me, it's a tough sell. And well, it's a tough sell for you and I, who are both young guys.
Yeah. And into video games.
That's the group that they'd want to get at.
Well, so here's what I'm willing to say, right? I'm willing to say that this could be a full-on home run. You could get Kevin Durant, the one seed, against Trae Young, the two seed in the final. And that would be something that I think ESPN would love. My problem is, what are you going to do if you get Montrezl Harrell against Hui Hachimura in the finals? Like, that sounds like, and those guys might be the best players. That might be a flop. That might not be getting Kevin Durant and whoever, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell in the finals.
Quite honestly, the only player that I would pay, not even pay, that I would tune in for is Draymond Green. Because I know what kind of you-know-what he's going to talk.
All right, so there are some that you would watch. Hassan Whiteside is on this list. He's the three seed. I'm assuming that Hassan Whiteside would be very entertaining. DeMarcus Cousins is the 11th seed. I'm assuming that you would get some good stuff from DeMarcus Cousins. Zach LaVine, same, I would say. Donovan Mitchell, I would say, same. I don't know, man, but you're right. Patrick Beverley's on here. That would work. But, yeah, it's a mistake not to have Draymond. Got to get him playing 2K20.
Yeah, I need Draymond. I mean, I need Swaggy P.
Lance Stevenson.
Yeah, I need the guys that are going to talk the trash. That's what's going to get me to watch.
I know. I'm telling you.
I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, legitimately, when he was with the Kings, on a night that he lost to the Sixers and scored 55, basically said, yeah, this team's garbage and I'm the only one that's any good.
See, that's good. I hope so. I hope DeMarcus Cousins would play. And I think in 2K20, if they're playing with default rosters, he's a free agent, so he'd have to like be picked up somewhere.
Sign himself?
Yeah, sign himself. At least it was, I don't know. Maybe it's updated and it's changed now, but fresh out of the box or the internet or whatever, as I downloaded it a couple days ago, he was a free agent. And I was like, ooh, I should sign him. But that would be awesome. If no one else was allowed to take any shots, that'd be sick.
Now, it would end up like that scene in Semi-Pro. Give it back. No, I don't want it. Nah, give it back right here. Come
in
on.
The post. There's also like a one-on-one mode, which would be far more fascinating to me as opposed to like the game, you know, if it's
probably
playing as their people in one-on-one. Although Kevin Durant would be just hell in that.
He wouldn't lose. There's no way he could lose that tournament.
Unless it was DeMarcus Cousins just backing him down from the 3-point line.
I don't know.
Look, I cannot stress this enough. It's not a shot at ESPN or anybody who airs old games or anything like that, because we are in the middle of the quarantine, okay? There's literally, you have to do something. Television continues. Radio continues. You have to do something. So believe me, I get it. It just doesn't hit me yet in a 2K tournament. 610-632-0975. Noteworthy information, because Tyler, you were laying out earlier that Sir Anthony Dominguez appears to be ticketed for Tommy John surgery. Or at least that seems to be the preliminary report. Obviously, without baseball, we don't know for sure, but who just got Noah Syndergaard just went under the knife, right? Dr. James Andrews temporarily suspends Tommy John surgeries amid pandemic. He was speaking at his medical facility in Gulf Breeze, Florida. The spokesperson said, "We are not performing any non-urgent or non-emergent procedures." Emergent procedure. I guess that's emergency. Emergent procedures. There you go. Including Tommy John surgery in compliance with the governor's executive order. We are adhering to these restrictions and all such cases are suspended at this time. So I guess there are some other doctors that are performing Tommy John surgeries. Neil, is it Elatracci in Los Angeles who did Noah Syndergaard's?
I got to tell you, yeah. I don't care. I don't care who it is.
Uh-huh.
If the name tag doesn't say Dr. Andrews, I'm out.
You're out on the...
I'm holding out on the surgery.
Uh-huh.
I don't want anybody doing my Tommy John surgery except him.
So this is what the other doc said. "I know I'm going to get criticized for taking care of these kinds of guys, but it's essential to their livelihoods. If you have someone's career at stake and they lose two seasons instead of one, I would say that's not a non-essential or unimportant elective procedure. We have to have some criteria. We don't want it to be arbitrary. We want the public to trust what we're doing."
They getting paid? They get paid to be on the injured list, the IL?
The players?
Yeah.
They sure do.
Then it's not obstructive to his season, believe me. It's not. Check cash is the same way.
Just the next contract, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But
it's the guys that are on the last year of their deal that are really going to suffer.
Man, oh man. Anytime that a situation...
Dominguez is under team control still anyway.
He is.
So
yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, I agree. This is why we were talking during a break. This is something that should have happened, like, probably this time last year.
Yeah, they botched this like, and the Robertson situation horribly.
Yeah, really, really bad. So think about this. I don't mean to call you back to reality. This is how surreal the last, like, 20-plus days have been. People forgot that the Astros stole signs and were banging on trash cans to relay them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
Like, that's literally not a thing anymore.
It'll come back up if and when the season starts. Like, their players, the MLB players, the other players,
yeah,
have not forgotten.
Well, no, like...
They are still going to throw at them.
Well, so the Dodgers...
Quite a bit.
The Dodgers, right? The Dodgers will never forget. The Dodgers will...
Right.
That will be the team.
I don't believe in stealing championships. Like, you win... If you get caught after the fact, you still won the World Series.
Right.
But the Dodgers aren't going to forget this.
No, you can have one stolen from you. I think that is definitely true. You know?
But this one wasn't stolen from the Dodgers.
No, I don't agree.
Because they didn't have it in their... Like, it wasn't in their grasps.
Right.
And an umpire changed the game, you know, something like that.
No, like, we saw a perfect game a couple, probably 10 years
ago. Galarraga.
Yeah, Galarraga's perfect game. That was literally stolen. Like, you did what you were supposed to do for the perfect game.
And the sad part is, now, or 5 years ago and since, or three or four, I guess it would be, instant replay would have overturned that.
Right.
And the guy would have had a perfect, it would have been a delayed perfect game. It would have been a weird celebration.
Yeah.
But he would have had a perfect game.
Yeah, yeah. Although, to be fair, like, I would square this up with myself. You did it. Like, you did what you were supposed to. Like, I get what the record book says.
I don't think I could.
You couldn't do it?
Nope.
You'd need, like, the plaque, or because he has the plaque, right?
I think I would just need some kind of variable, verified justification to the point where, you know, you could sit here and tell me, hey, listen, man, I know you, it was an out. I know you got the out. You got the perfect game. And in my mind, I'd be like, yeah, but the only guy that mattered that night said it wasn't an out.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. That is putting far too much power in the hands of one, as opposed to everyone in the country who's ever watched baseball who
knows
that he got
that out. But the one was the only one that mattered. The decision was his.
Right. At the time.
Like I said, nowadays he would have been overturned and he'd had a perfect game 5 minutes later. I don't know if at the time I could have justified, oh, yeah, well, everybody else knows that I got it, so I got the perfect game.
All right, so if you're Galarraga now...
I don't feel any better.
You don't feel better?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I might feel worse. I might feel worse knowing the fact that if some, you know, because you could probably say that there's a case that Galarraga is just some guy.
Pretty much
in
is.
The grand scheme yeah. of Major League Baseball. He was just another guy that played who happened to have one spectacular night. I don't know if some guy down the road, like if Nick Pivetta for one night was perfect and found stuff and threw a perfect game and that happened to him and then he gets it overturned and Pivetta ends up throwing a perfect game. If I'm Galarraga, I'm not taking solace in that.
Hmm. See, that's super interesting to me. Because, like, I guess it becomes a question of, and I don't know how we got on this side thing, but it's kind of interesting. Did you do what you were supposed to do or did you not?
No, he did.
You know?
Sure.
So, like, internally, I think that that would be enough. Like, I don't know if I need the cookie. Like, that guy telling me, hey, you did it and you did a good job. Versus everyone knowing that you, it's like, so a perfect example is like Edgar Allan Poe, like a master of literature and had no idea, literally had no idea because stuff wasn't commercially successful, wasn't thought of as a great writer, all that other kind of stuff. But if he were around now and he would look at how Edgar Allan Poe's works are received now, he's like, did my writing get better? No, I did it. I did the thing that I was supposed to do that would create all of this. It's your fault if you didn't receive it the right way the first time, but now everybody does.
Well, so
does that hold water for you?
I think so a little bit. So I'll put it to you this way in some kind of small personal story. I had one really, really good day on the mound.
Okay.
Like I was just a guy. But I had one really, really good day on the mound. And we won the game. I threw a complete game, one hitter.
Nice.
The only run that was scored was off an error. Guy made an error in left field, dropped the ball. Guy scored from third or whatever it was. Everybody else's mindset was, dude, you threw a great game. And still to this day, all I can think about is not getting the shutout.
Right.
I threw a complete game, one hit, one run. We won like 6-7-1. But all I can think about is giving up that run.
Yes. Totally understand.
Galarraga probably feels the same way.
Get him on the show. What's he doing right now? Nothing,
can't
probably.
Be doing anything.
Just get him on the program. Gotta ask.
We'll send him a Twitter message.
So, yeah, hit him up on Twitter. Fascinating to me. Super, super fascinating. 610-632-0975. What do you think? In a situation like that, in Galarraga's perfect game situation, because he did all of the things required to pitch a perfect game and had it taken away by the umpire, in like what you would call a non-judgment call thing, this isn't balls and strikes, you know, because I know that people would point to that and say, hey, see, you know what, umpires make bad calls all the time. If it's a ball or a strike or something like that, and it changed the whole at-bat, changed the whole inning, changed the whole game. I get that. But in a scenario where it's like, no, you objectively did what you were supposed to do. In Galarraga's case, throw the perfect game. And Jim Joyce butchered it at his own admission at first base. Did he do it or did he not do it? Would you feel like you did it or that you didn't do it? See, because like I don't look at that as like a participation trophy kind of thing. Like, oh, Johnny, you did what you... It's like, no. Like, the right call gets made, then the whole thing's over and there's nothing that happens after that. I don't know. Fascinating. The TV shows that are coming in are interesting. Ozark, Bosch... Is Bosch a thing? What's that on? Do you know Bosch? Not familiar with Bosch at all. Animal Kingdom, Dexter, Breaking Bad, Yellowstone. The rest are good. What's Bosch all about? Oh, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's an Amazon exclusive show, it looks like.
Nice. I got that.
Detective fiction.
I'm into detective fiction.
It has an 8.4 out of 10 on IMDb and a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. All right.
It's got to be pretty good.
So like True Detective Season 1. I like that. And then I just choose to believe that season 2 was total fiction, like in that it didn't happen. I'm told that that's like the healthy approach to True Detective. All right, I'm getting some good TV shows here. Let's go to Rick on the cell next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Rick?
What's up, Joe?
How you doing, man?
Good, bud. Good. You got to watch Ozark if you haven't watched it yet, man.
Season 3 just came out.
You haven't watched any of it?
Not a second. And no spoilers, no nothing. So I'm ready to go.
Oh, perfect. What about Tiger King? Did you watch Tiger King?
So I'm 3 episodes into Tiger King, and
how many?
3. So
perfect.
I need to space them out because my jaw just keeps like dropping, and I'm like, I can't process any more of this.
You can maximum do one a night, or you're going to go off the deep end.
It's too heavy. It's insane.
No, not only that. I'm going to call you when you're done, and I'm going to ask you just one question, and I want to just know. It's a yes or no question.
Okay.
I just want to get that at the end. When you're done with that, I'll call you like next week or
whatever. Bet on it. Okay. Sounds good.
By the way, what they should do, first of all, ESPN does show the NBA, you know, 2K.
Yes.
To me is dumb. It should be on HBO because they're going to censor everything.
Right.
I want, and I know Tyler brought this up when you guys were just talking. What about Draymond Green versus Charles with the feud that they have?
Oh.
Okay. And you put it on HBO and it would be the most real bleep talking thing you've ever seen.
That'd be so awesome.
I would watch that, and I would watch it again. You know how they show it again at, like, midnight? I would stay up and watch it again just to watch Charles and Draymond go at each other.
Dead on there. That'd be awesome.
That's entertaining, Joe. We need and here's a question for you. You might notice, since you're into, you know, the whole thing, why is NBC Sports Philly not showing, like, just nonstop? Like, there's never going to be another time to show all of your classic stuff. There's never going to be a better time. Why are they not showing, like, the 2008 Philly season, which they have the rights for? Just show the whole season.
You mean just, like, roll through the whole thing? Because I think what they're trying to do, Rick, is they're trying to get, like, the games or the moments or whatever that have made a big deal, like Jimmy Rollins getting the hit record and stuff like
that.
That's
fine, but just run through it. Like, you don't think every night you and I, well, losers like us, would sit up and be like, you know what? God, I remember this game against the Marlins.
Probably like, would. You know, we probably would.
Right, of course. And it'd be like, oh, I'm watching baseball. Like, that's what I want. I get that football's tough with all, you know, they don't own the rights and all that stuff. But, like, they own the rights to all the Philly Sixers and Flyers.
Sure, yeah. You're on, Rick.
I'm bored, man. If we're talking about watching this and watching Tiger King and all these other things, I need my sports show.
Well, so let me ask you something, Rick. Yeah. Is that something that you would forego? Any of the other, like, live programming that they do, like their studio stuff, their updates, like, would you just want to see games the whole
100%. What do I need? Unless they went back and they had, like, what would maybe be neat would have some of those guys from their homes, which they can all do now, talk about it. Talk about the game. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, you talked about the J-Roll hit thing. Get J-Roll on. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right, or even if they just had a funny thing with, like, Barkan and Vitalico, and they went back and forth and talked about each game, like they were doing post-game live, except it's now.
Right.
Whatever it is, but give me some sports, man. We're dying here.
Rick, you said it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's touch base again after I've wrapped up Tiger King, because that's just nuts. It really is. But good stuff from Rick. Good idea, too. Ryan T. Calhoun brings up Mike Messina, one out away from a perfect game against the Red Sox. At Fenway, Carl Everett gets a hit on what would have been the 27th out. Man, that one's tough, too. The Moose. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. We're hanging out until midnight. Nope, 10 o'clock. Sorry, 10 o'clock. Force of habit. If you listen at midnight, I won't be here. It's Tyler Zulli and me until 10 on The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5. The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, and me hanging out until 10 with you, of course. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Yeah, there are a lot of really good almosts throughout sports. There are a lot of good ones. But, man, the Galarraga one sticks out to me. Especially because they sent him to the plate the next day, like with the lineup card. And he shook hands with Jim Joyce and everything like that. And neither of them could look at each other. There's an awesome picture there on Twitter of both of them just kind of like looking at the dirt. I get the frustration at the time. You know, shaking hands is a big thing to do, but I get not being able to move past it at the time. But I mean, now, you consider that, you know, you threw the perfect game? Do you think so? Let's go to Dennis and Ben Salem next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, what's up, brother?
How you doing?
I said it when it happened, and I will say it to this day. If Jim Joyce ever wrote a book explaining why he went from calling the dude out to changing it to safe, I would buy that book.
Gotta know.
I don't know how well you remember, but if you, he's literally about to punch the dude out.
Right.
He goes, no, safe. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because Galarraga did a double take. He looked at him, he had a smile, and he's like, what?
Yeah. I got a great way for you guys to kill some time.
I'm ready. I'm always down for killing time, Dennis.
All sports related. Pick your favorite Philadelphia sports team and put together your favorite team. Doesn't have to be the best players, just your favorite players.
Okay.
Example, look at the Eagles.
All right.
Take your favorite Eagles players of all time. You're going to be shocked at how difficult it is to fit everybody on.
So are you trying to fill out a full roster? How does it work here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do the entire roster.
Okay.
Like, start with, like, the Eagles. So who are your cornerbacks?
My corners?
Yeah. I'm sorry, your safeties. Let's do safeties. Who are your safeties for the Eagles all time?
Man, oh, man. You're right. That is tough. Well, Dawkins makes it, but wow.
Dawkins, hands down, no problem.
Yeah.
Probably Jenkins, but what
about
Waters?
That's probably the tandem, yeah.
Well, what about Waters?
It deserves total
you know what I'm
mention.
Saying? Yeah, it's just a fun little way to kill time when you're, you know, talking to your friends.
Yeah, but the problem is this is going to take me hours. You're talking about killing time. I'm normally talking about, oh, how can I kill 25 minutes here? I'm going to be like fighting with people over why Asante Samuel should be on the corners list. And, you know, it's going to get
over up. Taylor, Vincent. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a great way to kill time. Not 20 minutes. This is hours a day.
Dennis, my wife already wants to lock me up somewhere. This is going to make it way worse.
Another one, pick your favorite Philadelphia team. Replace one player with any other player in history.
On any team?
Yep. Oh. For me, it's the 91 Eagles and replace them with Joe Montana.
Oh,
Jimmy Montana is my quarterback.
Beast mode.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, I mean, obviously, you know, anybody who picks Flyers is probably going to go Gretzky. But for the other teams, a lot of fun to be had.
Yeah, well, Dennis, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I think there are some Flyers that would pick out, like, I don't know, Dominik Hasek?
Literally any goalie to ever exist that was
Lundqvist?
Not named Michael Layton?
Jeez, man.
I mean, that's 2010, you have a serviceable goaltender.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah, you win. Patrick Kane, who's like going to go down as, I'm not saying how good he is, he's one of the top goal scorers of all time, is going to like end the series by squeezing one in between the pad and the post. Come on, man. There's no like good NHL level goalie who's gonna have that happen to him. It's bad. That hurts. That just brings up a good point though. Really good.
I think the only team that I could easily put together,
yeah,
would be the Sixers.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that would be the
well. First
problem.
Of all, it's fewer people, so
that's what I mean. Especially if you're only doing a starting five, that's probably the easiest to go with.
All right, let it rip. If it's so easy.
No. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's the easiest.
Okay.
I think because there is, a bunch of certainties.
All right.
Like, the certainties are at shooting guard, Allen Iverson, right?
All right.
Certainty. Small forward, probably going Dr. J.
Okay, I like it.
Power
so far.
Forward, probably going Barkley.
Okay.
Then at center, you're playing Wilt.
Okay.
It's the point guard position that I guess I'd probably go Mo Cheeks. So that's your starting five.
All right. Okay.
That was pretty easy.
Huh.
Filling out the bench is a little more difficult.
Well, I mean, the starting lineup is what's important. So I wonder how people would, for example, because like Wilt split time, you know, but Philadelphia was a significant portion of the time. So
right.
I'd be okay with Wilt.
So, and that's the thing is.
Charles?
Yeah, that's probably pretty easy too.
Yeah. You know.
You would think.
That's an interesting game. It was just brought to our attention. I love games.
It puts you on the spot.
It does put you on the spot. That was pretty good.
Honestly, I'd be more interested to hear people's on-the-spot answers than their well-thought-out answers.
Right, yeah. What's the gut?
Right.
I was thinking about that. For quarterback, I would take Wentz.
Talent-wise, it's Wentz.
Yeah, I would.
I would have a hard time, you know, numbers-wise, picking against McNabb.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's statistically the best in franchise history.
Right. But man, like, then there are, you have to figure out, like, era adjustments, right?
Yeah.
I really, if you're doing this exercise with the Colts, very, very difficult to not take Peyton Manning. Incredibly difficult to not take Peyton Manning. But I really like Johnny Unitas a lot.
Yeah, you are a big time Johnny Unitas guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, era matters too. McNabb probably would have killed in this era too. 15 years later, as every quarterback in the world is a mobile quarterback and all of the offensive systems are designed around that and everything. McNabb probably would have crushed in this era.
Oh, for sure. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah. Like more than he did. I think McNabb would have been better than
McNabb
he was.
Would have dominated.
Yeah.
With the receivers that the Eagles gave Carson Wentz in his first two seasons.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Obviously, well, not season three.
Or
but
season one.
First,
I think season one was bad too. I thought.
No, I'm sorry. Not season four. No.
Right, yeah. So I think two and three
two
were
and
tolerable.
Three were the best ones. Yeah. Season one was not good either.
No.
That was Jordan Matthews and I think Doriel Green Beckham, right? Or was that before that?
Oh, jeez. Now you're going to make me.
It was Matthews and. Yeah.
There was nothing there.
It was bad.
Was that the 2016 season? Let's see about these 2016 Eagles. All right. So the leading receivers. Oh, man. It's worse than we thought. All right. So we've got.
Celek and Ertz both have to be top receivers on that team.
Oh, absolutely they are.
Because they were bad.
Ertz, Matthews, Sproles, Doriel Green Beckham, Nelson Agholor, Trey Burton, Brent Celek, Paul Turner, Bryce Treggs, Ryan Matthews,
that's
Josh
horrible.
Huff. It's the worst collection of receiving threats that may have ever been assembled. Like, that might be the worst. Bryce Treggs is way too high up on that list. Like, way, 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 way too high. That's crazy. It's a good game. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. Good job by Dennis from Bensalem bringing that up.
Because there's only very few certainties.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout all of Philly sports.
Right. I was thinking about the Flyers, right?
Goalie's questionable.
Goalie's super questionable. You got Bobby Clark and Eric Lindros and Claude Giroux, 1, 2, 3.
I'm moving Giroux to the wing.
Okay.
You have to. And he played time on the wing, so.
Yeah, it counts.
I would move him to the wing immediately. That's step number one, because that at least eliminates one questionable, because he's making the team.
Right, yeah. Yeah. All right. Goalies.
You go Hextall? You go Perrant?
Lindberg? Hextall, yeah, Lindberg. Man. Beezer was good, too, but they didn't get the good version of Beezer. John Van Beesbrook. Man, way to derail the show, Dennis. 610-632-0975, your phone number, top aboard the conversation. Do we have this Kirk Herbstreit stuff, by the way? Is this ready to go?
I think we do. Let me go and try to find
it. Take a look. Because Kirk Herbstreit, we were going to do this a couple of days ago, and we never got around to it. We got distracted with something else, as Devon and I do. This time, I don't believe it was food-related, but it might have been. Kirk Herbstreit was discussing the probability or possibility of the college football season happening on time. And I thought it was a fascinating difference, let's say, with how the news was today that the NFL anticipates that the regular season will start on time and with fans in the stands. I thought that was fascinating when it came up. It was on an interview with Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. So there's no need to rush. We got time until 10 o'clock. We'll listen to that coming up shortly. We'll also hear from Danny Pommels, who joined Mike Missanelli earlier today, Sal Palantonio as well. We'll get both of those into the mix as well. We got a lot of good stuff going on here. Stay tuned. Plus, we've got a lot. We've got I need TV shows that aren't designed to just like keep you watching forever indefinitely. I need good TV shows that have a plan and execute the plan during this quarantine. I've got a couple of good suggestions already. Like 15 people told me I need to watch Ozark. I guess I really do need to get on that. Still working on Tiger King. Man, so much to do. But hey, no sports to distract us, right? So we can just let this rip through. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic. And also, would you want the NFL, or not the NFL, the NBA or the NHL, to forego the rest of their regular seasons once testing is more widely available, test everyone of the playoff, quote-unquote, teams, and host a neutral site playoff tournament in order to crown a winner? Is this something that you would subscribe to, or is this something that you do not believe would be a good idea at this time? Because I really don't anticipate that the pause is not going to be resume in the same place. I don't think there's going to be a little bit of video drift here. Joe Torti Show, hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock, Tyler Zuli producing. Man, just scrolling through social media now, it's just so apparent that we've got like a full-on nightmare escape. It must be quarantine day 18. Because amid the, the dog videos and the uplifting things that we see, people have just stopped and just gone into being full-on savages and stuff now. People throwing garbage on the ground, and there are no rules, as Josh Rabick would put it, But that's, it's getting crazy out here. What are you doing to stay sane? How you doing? Well, we always want to be outwardly focused if we can. So, we want to do what we can to help out a lot of the local businesses that have been impacted and affected. Obviously, we all have been. But if you're a small business owner, you know that you're operating on really razor-thin margins and don't have the ability to just shut down for a month, 2 months, 3 months and survive. Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now, they could use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local business and to highlight those offering home delivery and curbside pickup. Business owners, you can go to 975thefanatic.com, list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group and 975 The Fanatic. Okay, so we have this from Kirk Herbstreit. So keep in mind, this is on ESPN Radio, and when we last heard from the NFL, which is to say today, they're talking about the season starting on time, with fans, without interruptions. Let's look at that compared to what Kirk Herbstreit said on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Even if this curve is flattened out, this virus is still out there. I'll be shocked, honestly. I haven't talked with anybody. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'd be so surprised if that happens. Just because, from everything I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. Until you have a vaccine, I don't know how you can let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. If I'm a commissioner or I'm in charge, if I'm the NCAA, I just don't know how you can do that. Next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that.
So here's the interesting part, right? Is that Kirk Herbstreit lays out, you know, the people that he listens to project 12 to 18 months before anything could possibly be rectified. And the NFL says, you know, by the fall, we're going to be good to go. The state of this thing is so uncertain. You would think that in any other circumstance, with any other disease throughout human history, right, it would be fairly simple to be like, yeah, that's not true to like one or the other of these guys. You know, to Kirk Herbstreit for saying 12 to 18 months, that's ridiculous. There's no reason to believe that this is going to take that long. Or the NFL for saying, what do you mean? Like, there's no way this is going to be under control by the fall. Like, there's just so little information out there that is consistent with all of the other information. That's not to say that the right answer is not out there, because I believe that it is. But it's just the recommendations and the things that we're hearing, the timelines, the projections, the curves, all of that kind of stuff is, you know, not, we don't have the benefit of 7 months, 8 months, 9 months worth, or even a course of, you know, the coronavirus to track. This is what happens, and this is how the progression goes, and this is when it gets worse, and this is when it gets better, and everything else. My initial reaction was I would be very surprised if Kirk Herbstreit were correct, because as you know, I believe that there will be NFL football. I think that there will also be college football. That could be delayed, but who knows? But I'm not in position, none of us are, I don't think, to say, yeah, Kirk Herbstreit's full of crap and that what he said is not going to come to pass and it's not going to be true. However, we also don't know for sure that, you know, that's absolutely the case. And that, yeah, here's the inconvenient part of all of this, right? In a perfect world, everyone will operate in a way that, you know, will stop every single instance of transmission, will stop every single death as a result from this virus. Like, you know, people will do whatever it takes to stop that. The reality is that Americans are not going to stand for sports not being there for 12 to 18 months. There's no way that that's going to be the case. So Kirk Herbstreit might be correct in saying that that's what the projections are for eradication or a vaccine or whatever it is. It's just not a likely outcome. 12 to 18 months, that's not going to be an accurate timetable for when sports return. I don't even know if it's, you know, whether that is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. I just know there has to be a finish line. think about what you're doing, right? You're sheltering in place, staying at home, whatever you're doing, quarantining. In some cases, you're self-quarantining if you've been to New York or if you've had reason to believe that you were exposed, right? You can do that for a time period. There is no way that this is going to be an accepted part of our lives for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 12 months, 18. There's just no way. It's not going to happen. That's why I said that the league, the NFL in particular, could be a leader in starting to ease things back into normal. No, not jumping back in irresponsibly and recklessly or whatever, but there has to be a light at the end of this tunnel. Paul in Northeast Philly's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Ty. How are you, man?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. First time talking to you. It's a pleasure.
Oh, likewise, Paul. Thanks.
I didn't hear that interview until just now, and I mean, it strikes me a little weird that he would think that we were 12 to 18 months out on a vaccine when a lot of the other news agencies were kind of reporting that they started testing a couple vaccines that looked very promising and that we're probably about 30 to 60 days out of a full vaccine.
Yes, and I saw that too.
I can't see us not having football or sports in general for 12 to 18 months, just because once your body gets this virus, you build up an immune system, and that's going to help cure people as well through the healed people's blood and the lab studies that they're going to do. So
sure. Well, and Paul, the point too is that this was like 4 days ago or 5 days ago. Information has just, well, no, I mean, information's just changed from 4 or 5 days to now. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way that we can say it's going to be 12 to 18 months with any definitive certainty when all of this information's changing by the day.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, geez, I mean, you know, you watch the news in the morning, and then I come home in the afternoon, and it's way different than it was when I left.
Right. Yeah, Paul, yeah, you're exactly right.
And it's just, you know what, I have the opportunity to work because I do heating and air conditioning.
Okay.
So the world is a way different place than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Paul.
I pray for everybody, you too, you know, and please just everybody stay safe, that's all.
Now, you do the same, Paul. Thanks for the work that you're doing. Be safe out there as well, and thanks for the phone call. Call back anytime. Yeah. I mean, and by the way, the point of this is not like to go after Kirk Herbstreit or anything like that, because none of us know. We're all just taking information and, you know, doing what we can with it. My approach, I'm not saying this should be your approach. And Tyler, I would assume that your approach is probably different than mine. I have been hyper skeptical of everything that I have heard, period, regarding this virus. What you should do, what you shouldn't do, how far away science is, how close science is. Like, to me, it's just there's too little information, too little time has passed for me to buy into this. But like, I'm debunking myths left and right. Like, there are people talking about ibuprofen will like cause the virus to flare up if you have it. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So you do a Google search and you see that there was a viral text that had people believing that was true. It's not the case. You wash the virus down your throat with water and your stomach acid kills it. It's like, well, did people just, no one thought of drinking water? Like, it just, there are a lot of things out there that don't make sense. So, I mean, just hang in there. My best advice, my non-doctor, non-solicited advice, hang in there. Do the social distancing thing. Wash your hands. I'm in support of all of that, but my point is that there does have to be a finish line, because we're just not going to do this indefinitely. There's no way.
Well, of course there does, but the issue becomes that finish line gets pushed back every time people don't listen to what doctors are telling you to do.
Right. Yes.
I am significantly less, I guess, cautiously optimistic than you, and I don't mean in beating this. I truly believe that we will overcome at some point. I am on the opposite side of you, where you say you're skeptical of things. I am super precautious of everything. And that's probably, I mean, that probably more stems from me. I mean, you've seen me around here. I'm Mr. Clean Everything in healthy times in the summer.
Yeah, you've been ready for this.
So it's nothing new to me. It's just me living my life with extra precautions of, you know, you can't see your friends, you can't go see your extended family, work is, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I am under the belief that until someone tells me, someone legitimate tells me that social distancing or not being at, you know, most people not being at their workplaces is not helping, then everybody needs to just shut up and do it.
Oh, sure.
Because that's Absolutely. How we get over this thing.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top of board the conversation. Halfway home, 2 hours to go. Joe Torti Show, Tyler Zuli producing. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. Keep it locked right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.